Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a Paychex company. Learn how to grow your small business or nonprofit by outsourcing your HR and payroll functions. OasisAHR.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful that you're listening from wherever on the planet you happen to be. With us is the Director of Training for Taro International, and we're talking about a high interest topic that people are talking about in corporate America all over this nation and others. And this is the issue about diversity and inclusion and having those conversations that can be, from time to time, uncomfortable. Liz, welcome to the Business News Hour. So good to see you again.
It's good to see you, too, in person.
Yeah, right? We've been doing this virtually for so long. Nice to have you here with us. All right, let's chat a bit about uncomfortableness. I mean, we all get uncomfortable about some things that we have to converse about. And in the business world, there are some real issues as they revolve around diversity and inclusion. And so if I'm sitting in a boardroom, or if I'm sitting with the CFO or the CEO or the president or the general manager, and we're having this discussion, it can be a little tricky, yeah?
Absolutely. And I think it used to be more acceptable that we don't talk about certain things in the workplace, race, religion, politics, and that's no longer true. Even if you have a policy where you don't want people to be talking about these things, the reality is people are talking. And with things going on in society and in the news, people bring those emotions and thoughts with them to work. And so as leaders, managers, executives, we all need to be prepared. We need to know how is the best way to approach those conversations. And then when those issues arise within our organization, we must have the tools and the technique to handle the conversation in a professional way, but in a way that is effective and doesn't cause more damage in the long run, but really helps shift the culture of an organization and helps people feel not just included, but that they belong, that they are welcome as a voice at the table, so to speak.
And there are all, you brought up a couple of other things, religion and politics, which are hot button items as well. And because so many people have access to social media, they may be saying things out there that may run counter to the corporate culture. Mm-hmm. And so how do you do that? How do you have that conversation with the employee, right?
Yeah. And, we talk about that in relation to your brand and your personal brand. And you should definitely look at some of the other members of our team for talking specifically about brand and how we communicate that everywhere we go and communicate online and share with our friends and family and think that that might not get back to us at work. But the reality is, yeah, we are able to have our supervisors look at that information.
Well, when we are, doing the social media thing, I get that. We all have to be careful because we all have a personal brand. And if your brand is a fire brand, then maybe that's your brand. But if you're working in the corporate culture, oftentimes those things can backfire. Our guest is Liz Cooney. Ladies and gentlemen, she's the Director of Training for Taro International. Well, let's talk about once we are confronted with these issues, whatever they may be, that are testy and people are not supposed to maybe talk about, or they do talk about it, where do we go with that conversation?
Yeah, well, one of the things is when we don't have these conversations very often, it's extremely uncomfortable for many of us because we don't know what to say. We don't want to say the wrong things. There's a lot of roadblocks that can pop up. And so some of the research that we've done here, and there's a lot of resources out there that I can recommend for your listeners, but first and foremost, it is being open to listen in a way that is active and respectful. In other words, we want to eliminate any type of distraction when you are in the middle of a conversation about these tough topics. Turn off your phone. Don't be glancing down at your watch or checking those email notifications. Really, we want to be present and we need to listen actively and be open to the fact that if somebody's sharing with us their experience, this is their reality. This is their experience. So even if we aren't sure if there's truth behind it or we don't know where this is coming from, it's important that we accept one another's reality because the goal is not to agree, it's to gain a deeper understanding. So there will be moments that might make us feel defensive or maybe even we're not sure how to handle it, but as the other person is telling us their story or coming to us with an issue, we want to just make note of, okay, what are the moments that are making me uncomfortable and how can I really listen intently with an openness and a curiosity, not a judgment or not a approach to trying to agree or disagree.
So the first lesson is to listen actively and be responsive, but at the same time, not to give necessarily direction all the time, because in actuality, whatever the issue is that that person is bringing to management or individual is their story.
Exactly.
It's their story and how important that is to actively listen before we start to say, well, this is what you should do. Huh?
Right. Because we want to fix things, especially if people are coming to us for help or for a solution. It's our go-to. We want to fix it. We want to make it better. And sometimes that's not always the right thing, or at least the right thing in that moment. And so to be able to pause and receive the information with an open mind, it takes practice, actually. Sometimes we aren't aware that we are poor at listening.
Yes.
Because we usually are thinking about what's the next thing I'm going to say. And if it is a really hot topic, we don't want to say the wrong thing that could be potentially getting us into a troublesome situation.
Well, an emotion then takes over.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a really difficult thing to be able to tamp down if you're having these kinds of discussions about testy issues within the company and within workers. Now, this is not just for the C-suite. These are issues among fellow employees, managers, directors, board members, up and down the food chain, so to speak, yes?
Yes. And the thing is, whenever you bring a group of people together, whether it's a department meeting or a town hall meeting, or you are working on a project across the organization, you've got people coming into those situations with their own thoughts, beliefs, values, perspectives, and everything they say, everything that they see, everything that they hear is going to be through their own filter of those interests, of those beliefs, of whatever they carry with them. And when it comes to talking about some really tough topics or some hot button issues, there's going to be some conflict, there's going to be emotion, and there are going to be some really tough times. And so the more we can utilize techniques such as active listening or the point I made earlier of just accepting what people are saying and not trying to judge or agree or disagree with it or fix it, then we can actually be more open to having a conversation. And understanding that not everybody is going to view the issue in the same way, it sounds simplistic, but when we're caught up in the moment, sometimes that simple reminder can be what helps move the conversation along rather than getting at a standstill.
Liz, how important is it to ask questions in these types of circumstances when somebody comes to you and says, I believe that the sky really is purple, you know, right? And it's not blue. And how important is it to dig a little further into that discussion to find out, all right, what's causing this person to think that way? Is that appropriate?
It is appropriate. The kind of question that you want to focus on in that scenario is open-ended questions, because that really gets at the underlying interests of what that person is saying and why they're saying it. We talk a lot about how people have positions on things, but they also have interests. So it tends to be your position on an issue or your stance on an issue is a very surface level thing. Now, the reason you have that position is the why, and that's your interests behind it. And that could be some of your background or your experiences. It could be your beliefs, your values, your morals, and those are the why behind your position. So when you ask open-ended questions or even just say statements of, tell me more about that, or can you help me understand what you mean by that? Those phrases are wonderful ways to not only check for your own understanding, but get at the underlying reasons for why the person has that position.
What's the end result that we're hoping for when we're having these difficult conversations about a host of things? Is it to get this person to agree with our stance? Is it to be able to better understand theirs? Is it to better be able to say we may have to agree to disagree? What's the goal?
I think that really depends on the people involved in the conversation. If we're talking about an HR issue, obviously there's going to be some clear outcomes and consequences.
Correct.
With some of the issues that we hear about and we experience. If we're talking about culture and organizational culture, this is a process. And making a inclusive culture takes time. So having a conversation is one step in an ongoing journey. In other words, if you individually, personally are working on this for yourself, this is something that you can work on every day. As an organization, if you have an entire leadership team or executive team that is trying to work on inclusion and diversity goals, then again, you might be thinking, oh, well, let's do some training. Let's have some conversations. None of these are going to be resolved in a day or in a 90-minute lunch and learn. This is a commitment to a cultural shift in your organization that is ongoing. And the reason it's ongoing is because things are always changing and people are always changing. We have new things popping up in our language, in our vocabulary, which means we have new things that we need to understand about ourselves and our neighbors and our coworkers. And with that comes this cycle of needing to be open and listening to others. And overall, the end goal is not maybe as a concrete deliverable or outcome, but it is a shift in the environment and in the culture of the organization.
How important, Liz Cooney, is it that the leadership within an organization be able to mirror what they desire when it comes to inclusion and diversity?
There's a couple rules of thought on this. Some people believe that change has to start at the top. And there are others that think, well, people at the top maybe influence the culture, but it's really the folks closest to the work and closest to each other that have the control. But I think regardless of how you look at it, there has to be involvement from the top. And the involvement should be modeling the way. If they're asking for their employees to follow certain protocol or practice active listening or engage in a way that is open and accepting, that behavior needs to be demonstrated among the C-suite, among the executives, among the boards, board members, because people will see that. And it doesn't have to be grandiose gestures of inclusivity. It doesn't have to be a PR stunt. It doesn't have to be checking the boxes of compliance. It is the small everyday interactions that causes a tidal wave of an organizational shift.
You know, I was just mentioning to you before we went on the air that I saw a tweet today from a friend of ours, from Focus and Find, Desmond Adams, who said, in this tweet, I thought it was remarkable. If you are really serious in your corporation and in your C-suite and in your board about diversity and inclusion, you don't have to tell anybody. People will see it. Yeah?
I agree. I definitely agree with that.
That's pretty profound. As we talk about having these conversations, these things that are tough to talk about, there's got to be a number of roadblocks that stand in the way of actually getting to the meat of the issue and then coming to some kind of understanding, or at least even having, authoring that conversation to begin with. What do you got for us?
There was actually a recent study that was published just this spring by the researchers at Catalyst on that exact thing. So looking at conversation roadblocks when it comes to some of these tough conversations. And one of the assumptions that many people have when we're talking about difference is that there isn't a problem. So in other words, it's this mindset that maybe, oh, gender differences don't matter and I view men and women equally, or we don't see color, we only see people, or maybe race and ethnicity don't matter in certain places. So this is the mindset that, oh, there isn't actually a problem, you're creating a problem. And if you have that mindset, or you're working with someone that has that mindset, then the conversation you have is going to be a bit tougher. And it's not that those mindsets are wrong necessarily, but it does mean when we are the ones having a conversation, there are some extra obstacles for us to work through. And so
those are your beliefs that are baked in. If you already believe that there's not an issue and that, we see people equally, and somebody comes to you and says, hey, you know, X, Y, and Z, this is an issue here at our company, and you come back and you say, oh, yeah, hey, we don't really have that as an issue. I would suggest that might be the first red flag that goes up. Because if you just say, no, ain't got it, well, then you go, well, what else?
Right. Then you're denying somebody's reality and experience.
Which is what we talked about right at the beginning, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so if you have that mindset, or you're working with someone that has that mindset, there are some things that we can do to help overcome those obstacles. And the first one is really, can we change things up? Are there people that you don't know in your organization or in your team quite as well? Can you make an effort to get to know them, put time on the calendar to learn about their experiences, and maybe even explore how and you might enhance your working relationship together? The other thing is really reflecting on, have you ever said things like, oh, that person won't fit in here, or we treat everyone the same? Because those phrases actually are a demonstration of some coded language, and it might be potentially hurtful for someone. So we can reflect on some of our own statements that we've had. And really, it's having these conversations with colleagues of all genders, races, different cultural backgrounds, to ask if they've seen or been on the receiving end of this type of biased behavior, to learn what happened and hear their stories, if they're willing to share, and that we have a safe environment to do that.
What a piece of enrichment that is, to be able to learn about others who don't necessarily look like you or think like you or live like you or worship like you. Those conversations can really broaden our understanding of humanity in general and our potential workforce at the end, yeah?
Right. It will make us, if done well and effectively in a way that sometimes even requires a bit of a moderator to be part of it. But if we're talking about just sort of everyday colleagues trying to get to know each other and differences better, then yeah, that's going to create a better understanding and just a stronger overall team.
All right, Liz, we've been talking about having these difficult conversations. There's got to be perhaps a roadmap or a system in place to help corporations and individuals better learn how to do this. I suspect that's something that, because we've been talking about it, that Taro offers. Would that be accurate?
We do have several different services and workshops that we can help out corporations with or organizations. And there's a couple different things that we do. Some are two-day workshops, a cross-cultural, really intensive workshop with an assessment where people learn where they fall on the spectrum of inclusion and their attitudes and mindsets. And the other thing is we have a series of 90-minute clinics that people can take, and it covers all sorts of topics from implicit bias to ensuring equity, really men and women in the workplace, conflict communication style, and just overall cross-cultural competence. And these are ways that people can get some of the research behind it, have some conversations, and learn a little bit more about themselves and their colleagues and leaders in the process.
And these are open to corporations as well as individuals, if I remember correctly. And something called Learning in Small Doses, I think it is. Yes, Tarot Clinics?
That's what our clinics are. Yeah, so you can sign up individually, or we can work with entire organizations, entire teams to go through the series together.
Good stuff. Liz Cooney has been our guest, ladies and gentlemen, talking about issues that are talked about in the workplace, whether or not you want to face it or not, and then how to be more productive in those conversations and getting to perhaps some solutions, but even more importantly, to some understanding. Liz, thanks so very much for being with us. Appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
Once again, that's the voice of Liz Cooney. She is the Director of Training at Tarot International. We will have links to Tarot on our radio blog, as well as the book she referenced called We Can't Talk About That at Work. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for being with us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Jap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing here in Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now was arranged, composed, and conducted by our good friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Liz Cooney, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.